Praise God. Whew. Man, I hope y'all get as blessed on a Wednesday night as I do. I'm just drunk. I'm a happy drunk, though. Praise God. I was just worshiping over here, and man, I was just lost. I was hoping to go past the third heaven, and then y'all could just bury me, and I was already in heaven, and it was over with, but I couldn't quite get to the fourth heaven. But anyway, man, I just kept hearing the Holy Ghost say something. And so I'm just going to share this with you, and I'm just going to be preaching off the cuff here. So I'll just show you the words that he spoke to me. Go to Acts chapter 10. Get your Bibles out. And I'm just going to go through this and show this to you. And let the Holy Ghost speak to you as he wills. You know, I can tell you all this tonight, that in my life, I've had a lot of very, I guess you'd say, important people in the world of Christendom lay hands on me and pray for me. But the most valuable, life-changing things that have ever happened to me is what God showed me right here in His Word. You know, that spoke to my heart, that changed my life. That's some of the things that to me is just the most unbelievable things. And I'm going to show you something here tonight, and I pray you can catch this. Let's just pray. Father, just like you showed it to me right then, let them catch it, Lord. I pray right now for the anointing of God, that it's not my words, but it's your words. And it's going to be words of power, words of much assurance. It's going to change their hearts, Lord God. From all our crazy thinking, Lord God, and grab hold of the revelation of your word tonight, because it'll forever change us, Lord. In Jesus' name. So come on, Holy Ghost. It says in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, and he gave alms generously to the people and prayed always to God. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said, Your prayers and alms have come up before as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now he is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. I never even realized how confusing that is. Send the men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he's lodging with Simon. Maybe it was because he couldn't go wrong. You go to the house and knock on the door and say, I need to talk to Simon. You got it covered both ways. I don't know. Okay, so when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, the devout soldiers from among those who waited on him continually. So he explained to them all these things, and he sent them to Joppa. Now, let's just stop for a second. This man is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. The next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near the city, and Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry, which is what all men do. And he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, and it took the wives too long, the women, because they were talking, he fell into a trance. Isn't that what y'all say? Did y'all say that?
Oh, good enough. Keep going.
And he saw heaven open, and an object like a sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that was common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This is done three times. Now think about this. Peter, even though he was a fisherman, he was a proper Jewish boy. And had been raised his whole life to eat only the kosher things, right? And so all these things come down, and Peter looks at them, and he knows it's not on the menu, right? It's food you're not supposed to eat. And God changes the rules. And he says to Peter, I want you to eat it. Dig in. Both feet. Eat it all. And Peter says, no. I'm paraphrasing this. He says, I'm changing the rules. I'm trying to show you something here. What I bless, don't ever call it common. What I bless, don't ever call it common. Hear what I'm saying. What I bless, God says, what I bless, what I put my stamp of approval on, what I put my anointing upon, what I call my temple, what I call my vessel, what I say it is, if I say it is, it is, so don't you be calling it common. Now think about how hard this was for Peter. He was going against everything he had been taught. Everything that had been ingrained down on the inside of him. And don't you know that inside of his head, there was a little voice saying, you're going to get in trouble. There's a little voice on the inside of him saying, what are you doing? You're crazy. How are you going to explain this to the rest of the guys? How are you going to do this? You just saw a vision. You went up, you were hungry. Everybody's going to say, Peter, you're just hungry. What's the matter with you? You just went up there. You're, you know, low glucose level. When you think you had a vision. And you're look, go back here. It says, Moses says, don't eat these things. All these things, what do you mean you're talking about going to eat? But see, God was trying to got a bigger picture here. He was trying to get him to say he could go to the house of the Gentiles. So Peter, when the next thing you know, he's trying to figure this out. Voice is talking to him, knock on the door. We need to talk to Simon, tells him the story of Cornelius. He says, man, I'm going to go check this out. So he goes, right? And he goes, but he's still not sure. Now, y'all remember last week when I preached about being in the Garden of Eden? And if Eve wouldn't have eaten from the tree of the, what was it, the tree? What was it? The tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. In other words, wow, if she wouldn't have eaten, we'd only had good thoughts. I mean, talk about a happy world. You wake up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you say, hello, good looking. Boy, is today going to be a great day. Still breath in my lungs. Walk out the door and say, hello, world. You're here to serve me today. Glory to God. Everything's going to be good. Never have an evil thought. Never have a bad thought. Never think that you might be common. See, it's amazing how we get saved and we get this revelation that comes in and we get, you know, and if you're charismatic saved, you know, you get saved, but then you move on in life and you start learning about the word, you start getting full of the Holy Ghost, and then you start, you know, woo, everything's great, and you start going along, and then there comes this, it's like after the grace period, that when you're just living life, that it seems like the more you learn that the enemy turns it against you, and he's working on your mind the whole time, basically trying to keep you from becoming the dangerous, effective, powerful man and woman of God that's going to destroy his kingdom. Folks, listen to me. Tonight we got the presidential debates going on. And I want to tell you something. You're going to hear everything in the world. You're going to hear every lie. You're going to hear everything. But if you just stop for a minute and think about it, it is nothing but light and darkness. And I'm not trying to say candidates, you know, whatever. I'm just trying to say, it's the tactic of the enemy manifest in human form. You don't want to expose this, so you try to focus the attention over there, right? While you're doing something just as underhanded over here, but you get everybody looking over there so you can go forward. It's deception. And that's the root of what happens in our own minds. When the enemy, he just doesn't want you to think that you could possibly be anything that God would use on the face of this earth, or want you blessed, or want you walking in the blessings of God, or walking in the power of God, or speaking to a situation, speaking to a mountain and it moves. So what's he going to do? He's got to get you goofy in your head. He's got to get you thinking off base so that you will not walk in the authority and power God gave you. Because listen to me, if you're saved, you're born again, the blood of Jesus washed your sins away, you are not common. Because if God has blessed you, you can't call it common. So you're not just some old boat, Joe Blow that got saved or whatever on the face of the earth, and you're just trying to live out your life. No, you're a king and a priest and an anointed servant of God. And if you think any less of yourself than that, oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the knowledge of evil? And I understand, church, I understand that, there's wickedness in the world. There's some wicked things that goes on. Those things don't cross your mind. But so the devil just uses what he can get you, to get you off base. It's his tactic to get you to thinking off so that then you are not steady. It's the same thing. Muhammad Ali was one of the greatest fighters, and his greatest tactic was to get in the ring and talk trash. Why? Because when you got in there and you got to saying, what you're going to do when you got to talking trash. Every fighter said that when he would come up and they would just be pounding that, he's talking trash the whole time. He's trying to get them off base. He's trying to get them to thinking, well, maybe I'm not as good of a fighter as I think I am. And if the devil's doing that to you, and you're going out to do battle, you're going to get overwhelmed every time. He's going to whip you every time. And it all started back in the garden, that curse coming on that. The knowledge of evil came. Because listen to me, if you're calling yourself common, unfit, that's evil. That's pretty blunt. But that's the truth. If you're looking yourself as, what was that book, Laura, that we had Darcy as a kid, A Lowly Worm, Remember that? That nursery rhyme, is a story, a book. Lowly worm. Lowly the worm, see? Are you with me? We got two of us in here that know this, and three of us in here. Bruce didn't read it. Pat knows it. It's about poor lowly worm, It's like the little train that couldn't, but it was lowly worm. And I remember just thinking about that. That's how people think of themselves. The devil wants you to think of yourself as a lowly worm. Because if you can stay there thinking of yourself as a lowly worm, as common, well then, folks, listen to me. I'll just call it like it is. Then you're in sin because you're calling what God called blessed common. So really today, the biggest sinning you could have done is not thinking positive about yourself. That could be the biggest sin you committed today. Instead of standing up like Zerubbabel and saying, oh, who are you, O great mountain that stands before my God? He will make you as a plain. See, the thing about me is, I can tell you this. I don't stand here saying I do it 100% right all the time. But what I've learned in life is after I get in the fight, I catch it quicker. And I'm like, what? Man, you almost sucker punched me this time. I didn't see it coming. You did, but you're in trouble now. I recognize you. I see you. I address you. I adjure you. Get out of my life. Because you're just not going to go, boop, just get it. But I want to tell you something. If you listen to this message, you listen to this, and you get those words sinking down in your heart, what God has blessed, do not call common. You let that sink down on the inside of you. Well, then the next time The next time you start thinking like that, the Holy Ghost is going to go, what are you calling common? Oh, I hadn't even got to the word yet. That's what's amazing. Okay, go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse 21. It says, and Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Cana came from the region, and she cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, she was a woman of Cana here. One of the other passages of Scripture uses the same deal. It says she was a Syrophoenician woman, but she's from the region of Tyre and Sidon, so she probably wasn't a Jew. Or she may have been a foreign national or whatever you'd call them in those days. You know, she could have been working for a Jewish person or whatever and been around that, but she probably wasn't truly Jewish. And he answered her not a word. And then the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. I mean, in other words, this woman, it's making a ruckus over here. I mean, this is embarrassing. You got this woman just screaming and hollering over here. I mean, can you, Jesus, man, get her out of here. I mean, this is kind of makes us feel funny. I mean, they had a real good attitude, didn't they? I mean, they were just love gushing forth from their hearts for this woman with a demon-possessed daughter. Right? To like, just make her leave. So he says, so he answered and said, I'm not sin except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, Jesus is turning this woman away. And he said, and he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it under the little dogs. Now, right there, let me just tell you something. Just don't even read any farther. That woman is one of my heroes of the Bible because at that moment, you know inside of her head the pressure. The disciples are telling her to go away. Jesus is turning her down. The crowd all says, you're making a spectacle of yourself, woman. And she's, whatever. I mean, she's, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to add to what's there, but I mean, she's making a ruckus. Maybe she's crying. She's wailing. She's, you know, I don't know what she's looked like. She's throwing her skirt around. She's hooping and hollering or whatever. I don't know. But the thoughts that would have come to that woman right now, you need to be quiet. Have you ever really been intimidated in life? I mean, when you just get, when someone tries to just totally and completely intimidate you and the voice goes off in your head, well, maybe you just ought to back down. Maybe that'd be a better thing. Maybe you just ought to be quiet. And then if there's a crowd and there's more, I'll tell you the most intimidated I ever was in life. Most intimidating I ever have been in life was stuck in the back of a Russian truck in the back streets trying to get to a train station who standing on the platform was the conductor with a billy club in his hand, drunk, hollering, where are the Americans? And he got a crowd, and they all got gathered up there, and he was between me and the train. And I did get intimidated. I wanted to say, are we sure we're in the right place? Let's go back and let's see if we can't go another day. When that starts to happen to you, voices start to speak to you in your head. This woman had every reason in the world to stop. And she caught Jesus in his words. I may be wrong, and Lord, forgive me if I am. I'm not trying to preach heresy here. Get to heaven. We'll watch this DVD of tonight, and you can spank me if I'm wrong. I think she caught Jesus off guard. Maybe not. Maybe it was all just set up. Maybe the Lord set this whole thing up. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. Her comeback to Jesus. Whoo! Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat from the crumbs under the master's table. Wow. I mean, did she silence every voice in her head telling her, get out of there, and came back with the greatest comeback ever? And Jesus said, and he answered and said, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you're desired. And her daughter was healed that very hour. The point I'm trying to tell you in life here is this woman we can see as an example here. She fought against that intimidation, that thought that had to have been going through her head. If she could have, you know, if all of us could just get, this is what I wrote down. It's amazing what we can do when we can get the voice of bad to shut up. It's amazing what we can do when we get the voice of bad to shut up. Some of the greatest peace you can have in your life is when you finally beat that voice and tell it to shut up. You're only going to believe what the Word of God says. When you take that voice and kill it, shoot it, and mount it on the wall like a trophy, victory's yours. So now I picture this whole scene. You know, I'm looking at it and I'm picturing this whole scene here. And what's this woman doing? I mean, people trying to drag her off and she's jerking away from them and you know, really causing a ruckus. And then, you know, and then she just comes back with the world's greatest comeback. Yes, Lord. But even the little dogs eat from under the children's table. Power was released and her daughter was healed. Look, Jesus says, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desired. I'm telling you, the child was healed the moment the woman turned and got those words out. Didn't take long because faith was released. It hit the power of God. Boom, it took place. It is amazing what you can do when you get the voice of doubt and unbelief, the voice of bad to shut up in your head. The voice that says that you're common. The voice that says that you're unclean. The voice that says you're not worthy. The voice that says that you're restricted because of your intellect or your knowledge or your height or your weight or your this or your that, and starts to, when you get that voice to shut up, it is amazing what power can be released in our lives. It is amazing what the God of wonders can do. Monday night, I walked outside. Did y'all see the moon Monday night? About as big as it gets, I think. You know, I mean, I don't know technically, but that was a big moon. Looked like it was on steroids or something. Like there wasn't enough sky to hang it up in. And I was sitting out there just looking at that, and I was like, man. You know, God is so amazing, and we don't think about it sometimes, that everything that's around us, all that exists in this world, all the major, complicated, complex things of life that function every day without us even knowing it, that keeps us alive on earth and keeps the earth, you know, in gravity and spinning and all the things and the sun coming up, I mean, the moon coming up and, you know, dealing with the tides. It's just like, I don't even understand this. I don't even understand. You know, my brain, the capacity, it's not there to fathom how this all works and all of this going on that's unexplainable, but it's all life. And if that's just what my God did in 6 days, how amazing. And then that same God of life wants to walk right in the midst of our lives and in everything going on and just breathe life on everything. I mean, folks, we let the voice of doubt and unbelief talk us out of way too much. We let the voice of doubt and unbelief talk us out of so many blessings. And it's time for you to put your foot down. It's time for you to say enough's enough. This world's not in control of me. I'm in control of this world. I'm not living for this world. I'm living for the next. I'm just passing through this place. You can't call what God has blessed common. Can't do it. Can't do it. You got to stop. You got to stop. And the voice of doubt and unbelief sticks its head up. You got to stop. You got to put it down. Can't let it have place. When you get that revelation, you say, yes, Lord, but even the children's eat the crumbs. The little dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table, Lord. Whew. Victory's yours. Victory is always yours. It's just doubt and unbelief trying to talk you out of it. The knowledge of bad. You got to silence it. You got to kill it. Now, I'll give you an assignment because I don't want to go on and keep preaching this. Ephesians chapter 2. Go read it. It tells you right in there that you were alienated from all the promises, all the commonwealth of God, all the good things of God. You were totally and completely alienated. And your mind was full of wicked works. But, whoo, the wall got tore down by the blood of Jesus. Take Ephesians 2 and meditate on it. Run it and just go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. Take it a verse at a time. Just go over it. Let it sink down in your heart to shut the mouth of all the crazy voices in your head. And then watch what victory is yours. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to pray. I just want to pray over you right now. Father, this word, seal it in their hearts right now. Lord, I don't want them to lose a second of it. I declare that these people are the most beautiful, greatest, salt of the earth people in the world. And I pray right now that this is in there. Right, whatever enemy that has tried to bind their minds, whatever comes in and is speaking doubt and unbelief and is calling them common, I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I tell you, have no right, no power, no authority over these people. As their pastor, I stand over tonight and I bless them. I speak over them life. And I declare that God, you are the God of life and you flow into them right now. And that those voices are crazy, those voices of doubt and unbelief, it's got to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, they become conquering victors. They become conquering victors, Lord God. That they take the heads off of their enemies and they mount them as trophies on the walls of their home to remember when they defeated doubt and unbelief, when they defeated fear, when they defeated all these things within their lives. And the words that man has spoken against them, I break it right now in the name of Jesus. I say you have no place within their lives. And I declare right now, under the authority of the name of Jesus, that they are free, free to know that they have been blessed and that they are not common. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Now look at the person beside you and say, you're blessed, you're not common. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's take up our offering. My. God's Girls, tomorrow night? 6:30. In the all new, beautifully painted fellowship hall. Put your hand on your offering. Father, I just declare we're so blessed. Lord, just deals of the century coming towards us. When the world looks and says that there's no blessings left, we say, oh, man, God will make blessings out of rocks. I declare, Lord God, that you make silver so abundant in our lives is like rocks in the backyard. Lord, and I just declare people are blessed in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't forget about God's girls. It's pie night, right? Chocolate pie night. Everybody, all the women, you're supposed to bring chocolate pies. That's all y'all are eating. All right, stand up. Look at that blessed person beside you and say, way to go. So, Lord, I just declare as we leave here, we go out into the world, the blessing that's on us tonight gets on everybody else that we run across. That the rest of this week is a blessed week. Everybody we just come across, Lord, they're just, woo, saying, man, I see the blessings of God upon you. And, Lord, I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.